Well, good morning. In case we haven't met, my name is Philip, and I'm very glad to be with you on this great Christmas day. I was out shopping in the last few days. Surprise, surprise. Who hasn't been shopping? Of course, I was in one of my favourite shops, one of the reject shops, where it just serves rejects like me. That's what I think the thing refers to. As I'm wandering around, they're playing all the Christmas songs, you know, endlessly. I feel sorry for people who work in retail. They have to endure a month of dreadful songs. Anyway, as they're going along, they're playing Amazing Grace. And I thought, that's not a Christmas song. But I like Amazing Grace, and I don't have my children shopping with me anymore because they're all adults, and my grandchildren have been warned not to go shopping with me because when they're playing Amazing Grace, I just burst forward and start singing it as I'm walking around the shop. I mean, why not? I mean, it's a wonderful hymn, and I thought, this is fantastic, but it's not a Christmas carol, is it? I mean, that's not what I'm expecting. I mean, it was written by John Newton in 1772, and I checked up, and it is reputed that he wrote it around Christmas time. But there's no real evidence that he was. But it's all about being saved as a wretch. You know, Amazing Grace, who saved a wretch like me. That hardly fits into what people think about Christmas. And he himself was a godless, immoral, degenerate sailor. Not that all sailors are that, I just happen to add, but he was. And he called himself an infidel and a libertine. I mean, he was so immoral that he became one of the leaders and one of the functionaries of the slave trade. He himself was caught once and lived as a slave in Africa, but then when releasing himself, he enslaved the Africans and sold them off to Europeans. I mean, he is really not a very nice man. Anything but a nice man, and he wrote this song. And I thought, it's got nothing to do with the baby Jesus. And Christmas is about baby. Yeah, whatever else, it's about the baby, isn't it? And so, just talk with each other for a moment. I'm going to collect up some answers from you. Just quickly think, what do you do at baby time? A new baby comes to your family, what are the things you need to do? Okay, let's hear some of the things of babies. What do you do when the baby comes in the house?
Feed them.
Yes. Bath, yes, many times, yes.
One thing you go about is give them a name.
How do you work out the names of babies?
From the Bible.
From the Bible, there's lots of Bible names, aren't there?
Yeah. Family names.
Family names come in, don't they? Yes, that's right.
Part of the reason we choose names is because they're mean, isn't it? Because names do have meaning.
All right, different names, different... Philip means lover of horses. And I don't. And every time I've got near one, I've found it's mutual. What about Jesus? What was Jesus' name? Where did he get it from? And what did it mean? Well, you see, we read about it a little while ago. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 tells us, angel said to Joseph about Mary, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus. Where he got his name was from the angel, from God. God named Jesus. Although the funny part is he most likely wasn't called Jesus at all. Being Hebrew, it would have been Yeshua. And if you put Yeshua into English, it's actually Joshua. So little Jesus was most likely never called Jesus in his whole lifetime. He was called Joshua or Yeshua. Well, how do we get to Jesus? Well, you squeeze Jesus through Greek and then into Latin and then you pop it out in English and then you get his name. But it's not his name. And what did Yeshua mean? Well, Yeshua means Saviour or Yahweh saves. That's what his name meant, Saviour. And that's picked up in what the angel said to Joseph. For what does he say? The angel told Joseph, she shall bear a son and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save. Now, it's very important that children save. But I'm not talking about save like they normally save in a bank. This is not the process. You see, you can save up money in a bank, but Jesus saving is not bank saving. Where do we use the word save or saving or saviour now? Very simple. We are sitting here in Coogee. Therefore, we think of the beach and therefore the lifesaver. Yes, that's what it's about, right? The saviour. And whenever we see them, we must remember they are like Jesus. They're the saviours. That's their job, is to save. They stand there waiting to save. And what do they save us from? Well, they save us from drowning. That's what they save us from. They save us from being in danger, particularly in saving. You know, John Newton, he almost drowned. See, when he was a sailor, he was in a big storm off the coast of Ireland in a merchant ship called the Greyhound. We know exactly when, because he wrote lots of his biographies to John Newton. And it was March the 10th, 1748, and he said, "The storm was terrific. And when the ship went plunging down into the trough of the sea, few on board expected her to come up again. The hold was rapidly filling with water, and as Newton hurried to his place at the pumps, he said to the captain, 'If this won't do, the Lord have mercy on us.' And his own words startled him." Mercy, he said to himself in astonishment. Mercy. Mercy. Can there be for me? What mercy can there be for me? He knew he didn't deserve any mercy, especially not from God. He'd spent his life hating God. Why would God be merciful to him? Well, he survived the storm. And by the time the boat came into port, a few days later, it was the 21st of March, he had found mercy. Mercy greater than just being saved from drowning. For the first time in his life, he found the mercy of forgiveness. He found the forgiveness of his sins through Jesus Christ. Because from that storm onwards, he could not think of anything but mercy. Mercy. Why would I have mercy? How could I have mercy? How much do I need mercy? What do I need mercy for? And he came to understand for the first time in his life that God is merciful. And that's what the birth of the baby is about, you see. The angel told Joseph, "She'll bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save from their sins." That's what it's all about. I mean, this is a true saying, writes God. God says, this is a true saying, trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the very purpose of Jesus coming. That's the very rationale, the reason, the raison d'etre of Jesus being born in this world was to save sinners. And Newton, a wretched old degenerate that he was, he discovered the essence of what Christmas was about when he sought the mercy of God and found it in Jesus. I mean, that's what the angel told Joseph. "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save from their sins." That's what it's about, saving from their sins. But that's not all the angel said, is it? The angel told Joseph, "He shall bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This is the truth of Christmas that most Australians don't understand. Very sadly. Because we all sing the Christmas, we hear the songs, we will sing even Amazing Grace with gusto, but we don't understand what it's about. See, Christians are not good people. Christians are not moral people. Christians are not even religious people. Christians are forgiven sinners. I'm so glad that's what Christians are, because if it was to be a good person, I wouldn't be a Christian. If it was a moral person, I wouldn't be a Christian. If it was a religious person, I wouldn't be a Christian. But because it's a forgiven sinner, I've got a chance. Because I can do the sin bit. In fact, I have. But slightly more than most of you, because I'm older than most of you. More opportunity. Now, the sin bit I've got. The forgiveness bit is what we need. And that's what it is, you see. You may tell the story of Santa coming each year to reward good boys and good girls, but the truth of history is that Jesus came once He only had to come once to die for our sins completely. That's the truth that we're dealing with. And he didn't come to reward good children, but to save sinners like me. And excuse me saying so, like you. For I know you are too. For all people are. He came into the world to save sinners, not just children. Christmas is not just for children. Christmas is actually pretty profoundly for adults. For Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so Christians are Jesus' people. Are you one of his people? Because you see, he came to save his people from this. Are you one of his people? I mean, do you know the kind of basic ABC of becoming one of Christ's people? A, to acknowledge their sinfulness. B, to beg for mercy. And C, to call out the name of Jesus for forgiveness for our sins. That's the ABC. Acknowledging our sinfulness. See, the greatest danger for swimmers is overconfidence. It's not the size of the rip, it's not the size of the wave, that's not, no. It's overconfidence is the great danger, and that's exactly the same for sinners, isn't it? Well, I'm not really sinful. I mean, I've done a few things wrong, but I'm not like them. You know, I'm not like those other people. I mean, I'm not criminal. And so I'm okay. Overconfidence is one of the great dangers for us. We're not okay. For if God were to bring justice, you see, John Newton, he knew, if I'm drowning now, I'm dead and facing God and I've got nothing to plead, I'm in real trouble. If God's to bring justice, then we'd all be lost, both you and me. But Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world may be saved. It's the exact reverse. He didn't come for the good to reward us, because there wouldn't be much rewarding. He came for the bad to save us. That's why we sing his praises to this day. And that's why those of us who have really been saved by him can't help but sing the praises of him. And so, begging for mercy, we call for forgiveness in his name, in the name of the Jesus. For he is the Jesus who came into the world to save sinners. That's what he came for. In Buckinghamshire, in England, a little town called Olney, John Newton's grave is there. And on it it reads, it's hard to read, so let me read it for you. Once an infidel and a libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith that he had long laboured to destroy. It's a little bit better than John Newton, 1720 to 1803, isn't it? It actually tells you of him, but I actually prefer his own words about himself. Some say it was on his deathbed, but I think that's romantic. But he certainly did say it in his old age. Although my memory's fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner. Christ is a great saviour. They're the two things to remember. That's one of Jesus' people. He knew the truth of himself, the truth of Jesus. I am a great sinner. He is a great saviour. And so you see, I was wrong. Amazing Grace is a great Christmas carol. We should sing it at Christmas. And we should sing it when we walk around a shop and hear it being played. Because if you're a wretch like me, it captures exactly who you are. And more importantly, who Jesus is. For the Christmas, you see, is about the Saviour coming to save. An amazing grace, the generosity, the mercy of God is being saved by Jesus. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Jesus' people love that song. The world of music does too, but that's because they like the melody. Jesus' people love the words. But before we sing it, and we're going to sing it, God willing, we need to do business with God personally, don't we? We need to actually be like Newton. We need ABC. We need to acknowledge our sinfulness, our wretchedness, because otherwise we're singing what we don't believe. And we need to beg for mercy, because that's what the grace of God is about. And we need to call out for a Saviour. For it's only by the Saviour that we can be forgiven of our sins. So, if we've done that, we can sing this great song. So there's the prayer I'm going to finish the sermon with. There's the prayer I'm going to pray out loud, and I'm inviting you to pray it in just the quietness of your own mind. Well, I want you to say amen with me at the end out loud. Because prayer is about your own truth, isn't it, at that point? No point praying it if you don't believe it. If you're a Christian, you'll be happy to pray it, of course. Because it's just what Christians pray. It's just what we know about ourselves. Great sinner, great saviour. But for some of you, this Christmas might be like John Newton's sea voyage, where really for the first time, you seek the mercy of God. There's things that have happened, even happened recently, that remind you of your own sinfulness and need of the Saviour. So let's pray it together. I'll pray it out loud. You pray it in the quietness of your minds. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge my sinfulness in what I've done, thought, and failed to do. I deserve your judgment, but please have mercy on me. Forgive me. In the name of Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners like me. Amen. Well, let me assure you, if it is your prayer, that you will be forgiven. You know how I know you'll be forgiven? Because Jesus died to give you that forgiveness. It